Entertainment with an attitude. This is the VOC Nation Radio Network.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome one, welcome all to the premiere edition of the VOC Nation Rubbed Raw round panel discussion. We're here right after Raw. We're going to be live each and every week, 11:30 Eastern Time, right here, VOCNation.com, TheBradyHicks.com, live from the In The Room studios. I'm joined by a very special panel here tonight. We're going to introduce those guys in a second. I also want to tell you guys that the phone lines are now open. If you want to call in, voice your thoughts on Raw. Toll free, 855-VOC-RADIO. That's 855-862-7234. 914-338-1885. And I have to apologize right off the bat, guys, because I'm losing my voice. I'm not sure why. I'm joined this week on the panel, and I'm very excited about this. In addition to making his debut on the network, Dean Compton is on the air with us right now for the panel. What's going on, Dean?
Oh, not much. Just really excited to talk about that episode of Raw. I was really worried, what with it being 3 hours and all. And I've been watching Raw regularly as of late, that we would just have more of Mundraw to talk about. But it seems like I picked the right one to come back.
I think so, and certainly the excitement of WrestleMania, that's only going to help in this week and in the coming weeks. And joining us also, guys, my co-host on In The Room, Tuesday nights, 9, 8 Central, right here, VOCNation.com, TheBradyHicks.com, Derek McDonald is on the air with us. And Derek, this was the week, WWE, they had to do it at some point. This was the week when they gave us what we wanted, right?
You know, I'm not the type of guy to say, I told you so. So if you go back and listen to In The Room after Royal Rumble, I told everybody this was going to happen, and it happened. I guess they're finally listening to the fans, right?
I mean, I suppose so. I said to Dean, right before we went on the air, right before you got on, Derek, I mentioned to Dean that I wonder if this was really what was in the cards the whole time. You know, do they want people to think that they're stupid, Dean?
I don't think it's that they want people to think that they're stupid so much as I believe that they think that the best way to do a storyline like this is to drag it out as long as possible, make it seem like, you know, that there's no possible way that the hero could ever triumph, because they're overplaying the notion in fiction, and this is true in just about any type of fiction, that the hero has to go up against a villain that's more formidable than the hero. Otherwise, you know, who cares? I mean, if Superman beats up, you know, pickpockets all the time, I mean, whatever, he just looks like a bully. But that can be overplayed to the point where the audience you just get tired of it. And that's what I was feeling when I would tune into Raw periodically the last couple months. It was very NWO beat down on Sting from the late 90s or something. It was just, I knew what was going to happen, very formulaic. Daniel Bryan was never going to get his chance, but maybe they did have it planned all along that about the time everybody was kind of tired of that, they were going to break through and bring everybody back just in time for WrestleMania.
Now, Derek, I mean, I'll be honest with you. The way the segment drug on tonight, I was like, they're not going to do it. And it wasn't a good, like, they're building suspense. It was like a dread, like, they're going to drag this on, and then he's going to get arrested, and that's going to be the end of it. I don't believe it.
No. Yeah.
Well, that would have been too close to what happened in real life.
right. What were you saying, Derek?
It dragged on for a while, and when Triple H agreed to the match, I figured, okay, well, I guess they'll add him to the title match, you know, right before Mania. Then when he said, you know, wait a minute, you know, my antennae kind of went on. I was like, oh, okay, well, they're going to do something else. And they did it all at once. I guess some people could argue they could have done it a couple weeks ago, but I guess they were waiting to see what Punk did. But in the end, I think, you know, my brother pointed something out to me. He said, you know, WWE, they have a way of the biggest WrestleManias, you know, somehow, some way, whether they do it the way we want it or they do it the way they want to do it, they always give the fans what they want. WrestleMania 10 ended with Bret Hart beating Yoko. WrestleMania 20 ended with Benoit and Eddie Guerrero in the ring as champions. And it looks like WrestleMania 30 is going to end with everybody chanting yes with Daniel Bryan as the new WWE champion.
It's interesting that you say that because I don't know if you guys caught that this week on the network, but they've actually been airing a lot of WrestleMania 25 and 26, and not so much 26. I thought 26 ended fine. But do you remember how 25 went off the air?
Was that the Randy Orton Triple H match?
And it followed
yeah.
The Undertaker and Shawn.
Yeah.
And it was the worst, I want to say it was the worst main event of any WrestleMania, except for maybe Undertaker and Sid Dean.
Oh, worse than John Cena and The Miz?
I thought John Cena and The Miz was a fine match. I thought they told a great story.
Okay.
I mean, I granted a lot of people didn't like the ending, but I mean, I thought it was fine. But certainly better than Triple H and Randy Orton.
Oh, yeah, it was.
I don't remember that match because, like, somewhere like 5 minutes into it, I swear, and we had, like, you know, we paid for it and everything. I dozed off after Undertaker, Shawn Michaels. It just couldn't compare. And I was trying to wrestle. I remember, I was like, we got WrestleMania 25. What happened? That's why I couldn't remember. I mean, it was so unmemorable that I decided not to experience it at the time.
Well, there you go. And there's other things that I want to talk about on Raw tonight that happened. But I also want to mention, and I'm so glad that they didn't go this route, it seems to me like anytime anyone wants to pick a fight with Triple H, correct me if I'm wrong, Derek, but I feel like they have to try and make out with Stephanie, and that's how they get the match. And I'm glad it didn't end that way this time. I really am.
Yeah, he didn't have to handcuff Hunter to the ropes and, you know, DDT Stephanie, then kiss her. So I guess he went about it a different way.
So that's where we're at there. You know, they set up a few matches tonight. That was one. That was a big one. And honestly, that's the one that everyone wanted. I feel like you can now put John Cena in a minor undercard match against a preliminary wrestler like Bray Wyatt. You're fine to do that now, Derek.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about people getting upset. And also, I found it kind of funny that, you know, they had all these guys like the Dolph Ziggler's, the Alberto Del Rio's, the Miz's. You were wondering where they were going to find their way onto the card. And it looks like they're going to use this Andre the Giant Battle Royal thing to get everybody on the show, everybody who doesn't matter right now.
Yeah, Dean, what were your thoughts on that? I mean, to me, that's an exciting thing. And 30 guys. My God, you probably saw 30 people in the ring tonight. How did that look?
Well, I thought that I thought that was great because, and I was watching it with Ryan, who's going to be the co-host of Compton After Dark with me, and he was like, you know, what's the point of that, a 30-man battle royal? And I was like, actually, this is, you know, Vince being nice, trying to get everybody a moment on WrestleMania, trying to get them that WrestleMania paycheck. And I thought they built that up pretty well. You know, they having Hulk Hogan announce it and saying that he was going to be a part of it makes it seem important. And even, I mean, I think he's the only guy besides maybe Vince McMahon himself who could honestly, you know, say this is an Andre the Giant memorial thing because their history, especially within the WWF, is so intertwined. And I think they did pretty well with that.
So I want to get everybody's thoughts on the Battle Royal specifically, who they think is likely to win this thing. I have a few thoughts myself, but I also want to mention that they did tonight what I've been wanting them to do for a long time. They got John Cena and Hulk Hogan in the same ring at the same time, and to me, that's just a visual that people needed to see. It kind of like
absolutely.
The Rock, it legitimizes John Cena, you know? Even if he did do the bait and switch and say he'd be in one match and then back out.
Right, it's a torch passing moment. You know, they both get to play to the crowd at the same time in their respective ways, and it's not just a way for Hulk Hogan to pass the torch. It's also a way for John Cena to, I guess, like you said, legitimize the history of the WWE and recognize, you know, where he was coming from, and that he's the next superhero in a line that started with Hulk Hogan in '84.
Your thoughts, Derek?
Yeah, it was, you know, it's pretty cool. I know some people don't don't like Hulk Hogan for whatever reason, but, you know, I'm pretty sure John Cena would admit it was a childhood dream of his, you know, to pose down with Hulk in the middle of the ring, and it kind of shows, you know, two of the biggest names that they had. You know, I think the only guys missing were probably Rock and Austin, but it was cool, and I think, like you said, it legitimizes Cena as the guy. If anybody had any doubts, I don't know who would, but it shows people that he's the guy. You know, in the past 3-4 years, he's rubbed shoulders with The Rock, and now he's rubbing shoulders with Hogan. So it was cool to see.
And did I detect a couple cheers for Cena when he's posing down? I feel like I did. He looked like his eyes were bugging out of his head, by the way.
He really did. He looked scared.
He did. What's that, Derek?
I was gonna say he looked like he was gonna, you know, I don't know if it was excitement or if he was gonna pop, you know, a blood vessel from the pose down.
It was weird. I wondered what was going on with him because, like, it's the easiest thing to memorize. You just kind of point, and then you flex, then you do that stupid pointing in the sky thing, then you do the side thing, and then you turn to the next side and point. And John Cena seemed lost. He looked like he had no idea what he was doing. Maybe he was still perplexed with the fact that he wasn't actually in the Battle Royal when he said he was going to be. I don't know. It's weird. That's something that bugged me, guys. Dean, I'll start with you. Why would they say, yes, John Cena is going to be in the Battle Royal and then take him out right away? What was the point?
I don't think there's any possible answer to that question. I don't really think there was much of a point at all to that. You know, the Battle Royal was set up nicely whether John Cena was going to be in it or not. So I just think that was something they just decided to do, probably to get a pop out of the crowd really quickly, even though it's not going anywhere. And this isn't the first time they've done this, and it won't be the last. You know, they for whatever reason, they love the quick bait and switch, the real quick one. And that's been a staple of theirs lately, I really feel.
What do you think, Derek?
Yeah, I don't know if they wanted people to be upset that Bray kind of pried Cena out of that. I don't know what the intent was. You never know with them, especially when it comes to Vince. Maybe he thought people would think it was a big deal that John Cena wasn't going to be in the Battle Royal. I don't know. They tend to do these things. And the only people who understand it are the ones making the decision, so...
I mean, my first thought when I heard that, and I, because I overanalyze everything, but to me it seemed like, well, John Cena's probably going to pull double duty. And maybe a lot of the other main eventers will, and maybe it'll be like a better Battle Royal than the Royal Rumble was, you know, because they'll actually get a lot of the guys in there. But that clearly isn't the case. It's clearly going to be like an undercard thing.
Now, my question to you is, who do you think wins it? Because when they first announced it, I thought, well, maybe this will be, you know, their chance to get Cesaro over and he'll win the Battle Royal and he'll be the, you know, that'll be his big Mania moment for the year. But now it looks like they're going to do something with him, Swagger, and Big E. So
yeah.
Who do you think they're probably going to have win the Battle Royal?
I have three thoughts here. And, Dean, I don't want to steal your thunder with any of these, but my first thought is...
No, go ahead.
My first thought is, you've only got one giant in the WWE. You know, maybe you could start to build something with his legacy now that he's like 42 or whatever. You know, the Big Show, maybe he wins it. That's one way to look at it. Now, that isn't the way that I happen to think they're going to go. I identified two other names that I think are very likely. The first being Roman Reigns, because I think a lot of people felt gypped at the Royal Rumble, and he seems like a natural... logical guy to be the first one to hoist that kind of a trophy. That would be one. And the other one. You know what? I just forgot who the other one was. Who was the other one? Oh, God, I had it. I just had it.
Jesus.
Dean, what do you think? Let me think. I got to think about it.
I was actually, you did steal my thunder a little bit. I don't know if it would necessarily be Roman Reigns, But I was going to say this seems a prime opportunity to begin the much teased, you know, schism in the Shield, and you know you could possibly have an accidental elimination, and it probably should be Roman Reigns, like you said, based on the continuity we got from Royal Rumble. But you could have an accidental elimination, or two of them wind up facing off at one point, and I think they've started to they've teased this very well, and I want them to stay together a couple more months. But they could up the tension between, you know, within the trio there. And so that's what I would think. Roman Reigns probably the most likely, but I really like, gosh, I forgot his name, the U.S. team, Ambrose. I really like him. I like his mannerisms, and it'd be cool to see him, you know, to see him do it.
Well, he'd be
but
good
I think
as well.
He would go with Reigns.
The other guy that I was thinking of, by the way, and I guess just because he isn't that prominent on TV yet, but it just seems like the perfect spot to me. And again, guys, if you want to call in, voice your thoughts on this, toll-free 855-VOC-RADIO, 855-862-7234, 914-338-1885. The guy that I was thinking, Derek, he's a guy who's been on TV for a couple weeks now. By all appearances, he seems to be a monster. You know, he's on Raw, he's on SmackDown, he's on NXT. I'm talking about Alexander Rusev.
I can see that, especially if, you know, they really like him. A guy I was thinking about, I don't know why, you know, when they said big man, I started thinking about what big men they could have. And, of course, I thought about Roman Reigns and the Big Show. But a guy I like, and I don't think you hear too much about him. Like,
Great
I thought personally he was I thought the guy was a star in those Shield wire matches, and that's Luke Harper. And I thought maybe if they like him enough, he could do it. But I guess I could see the Big Show doing it because he's the modern-day giant. He kind of makes the most sense to me.
I'm totally on board with that. I don't know if it's the best decision, but yeah, no, he's your resident giant, you know. My biggest problem with the Big Show, it isn't anything that he does. It's the way they start and stop his pushes, you know. One month he's a monster, the next month he's crying on TV because he dropped his sandwich or whatever. I hate it. I hate the Big Show.
No,
I hate the character of the Big Show.
And you know, the thing is, when I was younger, I really hated the Giant, but over the past 2 years, I've really thought that he's, you know, learned to work very effectively, especially for a big man. I think when it comes to the idea of the Big Show winning the inaugural, you know, Andre the Giant Battle Royal trophy, the question is, are you doing something long-term to legitimize that as something that the fans will look forward to every year at WrestleMania or wherever they decide to plug it in? If so, Big Show might be the best choice to lead it off because it ties back into that history that we were talking about earlier that they legitimize by having Cena and Hogan pose down in the ring. Conversely, short-term, it probably doesn't do much for the Big Show short-term to get him over. He's not going to get any more over than he is. He certainly doesn't need the accolade for his career, and that's where you might see a Roman Reigns or the Bulgarian Alexander come in and get a chance and really start off with a bang, or Roman Reigns legitimize himself. It really just depends on what they decide is more important, that long-term legitimacy of the trophy or getting somebody over.
Yeah, and they, by all accounts, they haven't given any indication that this is going to be an annual thing. So keep in mind, Santino Morella is your reigning Miss WrestleMania. So these things tend not to stick, is my point.
Right.
Now, of course, you know, you had that big Daniel Bryan insertion, or, you know, the Daniel Bryan possible insertion into the main event. That sounds really dirty to just say the Daniel Bryan insertion and leave it at that. You had the big battle royal. And there was a third match, and I took a shot at it earlier, but you guys, neither of you really bid on it. And that match being, and this is one that kind of bugs me, that you're actually going to take John Cena, the guy who fought The Rock the last 2 years at WrestleMania and has been your consensus main eventer for 12 years now, and you're going to insert him into a match with Bray Wyatt, Husky Harris. To me, this is the worst, and you don't have to like Cena, but he still has a legacy and he still has a value based on who he's fought. This is the biggest waste of talent at WrestleMania since Stone Cold Steve Austin fought Scott Hall. Probably worse, because at least Scott Hall was an established star.
No, because
we saw Big Show and Albert against Nathan Jones, you know, without him being there in the, against The Undertaker the next year. So that's probably the worst.
There you go. See, Brady. But I think, and I'm higher on Bray Wyatt than you are, I think they're higher on Bray Wyatt than you are. And I think if Roman Reigns is going to be the top good guy, I think they look at Bray Wyatt as the future, as the top heel. And you have to start it now because you're running out of heels. So I'm thinking they want to build Bray up. And like I said, I think the guy can be a main eventer. I can see him and Roman Reigns going at it for the title a year or two down the line. So maybe they're using John Cena to help build up Bray so they can have a monster heel going into the future, which I'm okay with it.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm okay with it. It just doesn't seem like a WrestleMania match to me, let alone a match from what's supposed to be the biggest WrestleMania of all time. That's all I'm saying.
That's a fair point. It does seem kind of lackluster for, you know, one of those big even numbers, you know, with the Roman numerals, you know, three X's and everything. But I will say that I'm bigger on Bray Wyatt than you seem to be as well. And again, it ties into, you know, what I liked about the Daniel Bryan Occupy thing. They're very contemporary. They have, like, you know, an American Horror Story feel to them. And they're tying into things that people like to see right now. And I believe they will evolve as that part of culture evolves, like Derek was talking about. And these guys, this is the future heel of WWE.
And that's great. And maybe with the benefit of hindsight, I'll feel more like you guys do. I certainly hope so. You know, I certainly hope that's the case. A couple more angles to come out of Raw I do want to talk about before we're done here. First of all, you know, we've been talking, Derek and I and some other guys in the room, we've been talking for a couple months now about who's going to emerge and take on AJ for that Divas title at WrestleMania if they actually have a Divas match. And for the longest time, Derek, I swore that they were angling to get Mickie James back. You know, she's with the company to a certain extent, helping train and stuff. And it just made sense to me, you know. It just, like Michelle McCool used to say, it just feels right, you know. But apparently, they've gone in another direction, you know. They've gone toward that fine, masculine Natalya.
Come on, man. Cut it out.
Does that bug you?
It's not nice. That's somebody's wife, you know, and you're friends with him on Facebook, so you better watch yourself.
He unfriended me, it's all right, but we still talk.
Okay, but I thought
probably heard.
It was going to be, I thought they were going to put AJ in there with Naomi, because you had the whole, you know, connection to the television show, and you could have did that, but then Oksana went and pretty much crushed poor Naomi's eye socket. So I guess they figured, well, we have to take somebody else from the TV show. And can't, I don't know what, I assumed it would be a Bella, but I guess I like Natalya. She's a good wrestler, probably one of the best female wrestlers that they have. And if you can't go with Naomi, take the other best wrestler from the Divas show and you put in Natalya. So I think they're just using this to help get the Divas show, you know, give them a WrestleMania angle so they can show it on E.
Well, WWE, you know, it's interesting because they did, you know, even though they set up Natalya tonight, they did also kind of put the Bellas in that match as well, especially Nikki. So maybe they're at a loss as well. You know, maybe I'm reading a little bit too much into it. What do you think, Dean?
Well, I thought it was really peculiar to have Natalya come out and do all that commentary and you know, really start building herself up, and they were building her up as a legitimate opponent for AJ. Then have, you know, Bella go over, take the belt, you know, drape it over her shoulder like she was the one, you know, about to fight at WrestleMania.
Right.
I think, you know, Jim Cornette's always talking about somebody getting their nuts cut out from under him. I guess she had her ovaries cut out from under her or something, because, I mean, it was just awful. Like, they took all the focus off her instantly, just like that. And I don't think you should, if they want that match to mean something and people to be emotionally invested, that was the opposite way to go about it.
I totally agree. Now, one other match that I'm pretty sure that they were angling toward at WrestleMania, but I don't know if by given tonight and the way the last couple weeks have gone, maybe they decided to go in a different direction. To me, it made sense. You had Sheamus and Christian, and these guys have been going at it the last couple weeks, even trading wins a little bit and stuff, but tonight, you just had Sheamus go in there and just destroy Christian in a hardcore match, Derek. And to me, that was going to be a match that I was excited to see at WrestleMania. And now, does that mean that neither guy's on the card?
No. Christian, when I was younger, he's one of my favorites. I always say, you know, the most forgotten guys from the Attitude Era that are mistreated by WWE are Christian and Mick Foley, because they contributed a lot, and they aren't treated like, you know, top guys. But these guys have been going out every week, pretty much on every show, and they've been having great matches, well, good to great matches, and it seems like they're wasting them on Raw. Now, how you can turn this into a WrestleMania match, I have no idea. If it was on a WrestleMania match, if it was on a Mania card, and I hadn't seen them wrestle for the past month, I probably would have been excited for the match. I don't know how you put them on a card with each other, and we're watching them fight for free every week on every show. I don't get it.
That's my thing, you know. I guess they should be happy that they're fighting, Dean. I mean, Alberto Del Rio didn't make a 3-hour Raw tonight 2 weeks before WrestleMania. That can't be good, right?
No, I mean, it definitely wasn't good. You know, I mean, I didn't hear exactly who you're talking about, but when it comes to those guys having fought again and again, I can comment about this. That's early Nitro crap. Like, my co-host Ryan and I have been watching the early Nitros in a row, and they would feed you Flair versus Savage, and then you get Flair versus Savage at the pay-per-view, and the night after you get Flair Savage again. And who gives a crap? I don't care how delicious steak is. I don't want to eat it 3 meals a day every day of the week. You know, so you got to build up to something, and they're taking that away. But I didn't hear who didn't make the card. Again, I haven't been watching the past few weeks.
I just pointed out that Alberto Del Rio did not make a 3-hour Raw 3 weeks before WrestleMania. To me, there's something wrong with that. Neither did Rey Mysterio, by the way.
Yeah, I was going to mention him, yeah.
And Mark Henry. There's a lot of guys.
I guess they want you to watch Mark Henry tomorrow night on Main Event. They plugged that like 2 or 3 times. You know, maybe that was a decision to get some eyes on the network during a non, you know, when you're not watching a Raw pre-show or a Raw post-show.
Yeah, if I'm going to the network, I'm not going to watch Main Event or Superstars. Me neither.
I'm just trying to conjecture about their mindset.
Derek, that's perplexing to me. How you can have these top stars just a couple weeks before WrestleMania. I guess the argument is they set up 3 matches tonight, don't complain?
I don't know, you know. I enjoyed Alberto Del Rio until they, like, took everything that was likable about his gimmick. They took the cars away. They took the pyro away. They took Ricardo Rodriguez away. So I was always a big Del Rio fan. The fact that he doesn't have a match on the card, like you said, Rey Mysterio, Dolph Ziggler, Mark Henry, these guys who are usually mainstays on Mania, somehow, some way, they don't have matches. I don't know if they've forgotten about these guys because they're too busy trying to build up Roman Reigns, and you had the CM Punk thing, and everybody wanting Daniel Bryan in the main event. It seems like their only focus is on Hunter Daniel Bryan, Undertaker Brock, John Cena Bray Wyatt in the title match, and that's it. And I think if they get those matches aligned up, they can think to themselves, we can put anything underneath these matches, and people are still going to buy it because of the main event matches.
All right, well, that's where we are. We got 3 weeks headed into WrestleMania. You know, they set up a couple matches tonight on Raw. All in all, I mean, I won't call it compelling television, but it was more exciting than most Raws. I thought that they did a fantastic job with Daniel Bryan, even though they continue to pussify him in my eyes. They have him do all these, like, annoying little things that make me want to beat Daniel Bryan up. But, he was mistreated, so I guess that's fair. Dean Compton, final thoughts on Raw. You know, we just got a couple minutes left here on the show.
Well, I thought it was a really fun show, and again, I haven't been watching lately. It was a good one to come back on. And mostly what the biggest thing that I had a problem with, I think, was when John Cena and Bray Wyatt were facing off. And one of the things that made it cheaper is John Cena's just outdated Margaritaville joke. You look at the show later, and you've got Daniel Bryan with Occupy and other things that are very contemporary. That felt very dated. But overall, I had a fun time watching the show.
As an aside, I forgot about that joke. I loved it. I loved it because that's something I thought before when I look at Bray Wyatt. What do you think, Dad?
He definitely looks like that kind of guy or a dungeon master or something, like in Dungeons & Dragons.
Yeah, except he's dressed like a Hawaiian goof. Go ahead, Derek.
Right.
You gotta leave Bray Wyatt alone, Brady. I know he looks like
Husky Harris.
You know, Waylon Mercy Jr. But I enjoyed Raw. I enjoyed the fact that they finally put Daniel Bryan possibly in the title match, and you know, you got to see Cena next to Hogan. That was pretty cool. So all in all, it wasn't as good as last week's Raw to me, but it hasn't been as bad as some of the other Raw. So it was all right.
And I'm going to agree with that. You know, just based on two visuals. One, the fans flooding the ring for Daniel Bryan. And two, John Cena, Hulk Hogan get their moment face-to-face. They'll be able to put it on a DVD 10 years from now. That works, you know? Because you're not going to have Hogan Cena. Unfortunately.
No.
Right, absolutely.
Although I'd rather see Hogan Cena than I would have Husky Harris fight Cena, but that's another story for another day. So there we have it, guys. This is the first ever VOC Nation Rubbed Raw experience. I came up with the name, but it just sounds weird every time I say it. I don't know.
I didn't even realize the name until I was calling in. I was like, wait a minute, Rubbed Raw, Jesus Christ.
No, it sounds really, really out there. But anyway, Dean Compton next week. February 18th, Tuesday night, you're going to be making your debut, Compton After Dark. Getting excited, pal?
Oh, absolutely. It's been really great. It's going to be March 18th, by the way. The calendar's changed.
That's what I meant.
No, I'm just teasing you. But, yeah, it's been really excited lining up a lot of great guests. We got Mike Bessler coming on next week, and in a couple of weeks, we'll have some comic book guys coming on from Charlton Heroes and stuff. We're really having a good time getting ready for this.
Very cool. And that starts at midnight, right?
11:30 to 1:30.
Very good. Very good. And then 2 days later, Her Dork World, His Dork World, Thursday night. Lots of exciting
stuff.
Yeah,
that's the midnight show.
All right.
I'm really excited to be part of VOC Nation.
And then, of course, tomorrow night, don't forget In the Room, live from the In the Room studios, proudly part of the VOC Nation radio network, vocnation.com, thebradyhicks.com. And don't forget, worldwide, over the net carrier and cloud, you know, we've got some exciting guests coming up the next couple weeks, Derek, and I assume some more exciting banter. We'll be back next week with the VOC Rubbed Raw experience. You might want to put some Vaseline on that. Maybe ease that up a little.
Oh, come on, man.
And it's a rotating panel, so you're not always going to get me. And next week's panel, I forgot to mention, as of right now, will include former WCW star guys, the Maestro, will be joining us on the Raw panel next week to talk all about Raw. So there you have it. Thank you, everybody, for listening to VOC Nation Rubbed Raw. Be sure to check out all the other great content. VOCNation.com, just click on the schedule. We're adding shows every day. It seems like we probably added 6 or 7 just this week. So go check all that out. Get excited. WrestleMania is coming up. We'll be back on the air very soon, guys. Take care.
This is the VOC Nation Radio Network.
Catch the crabs on Crab Nation Live on VOC Nation. Call into the show at 855-862-7234. We say things we shouldn't about politics, news, religion, and inflatable Asian nurses.
Hey guys, Grady Hicks here, Pro Wrestling Illustrated contributing writer and the host of In the Room, TheBradyHicks.com, and for the first time ever, VOCNation.com. So happy to be part of the family. Join us each and every Tuesday night, 9, 8 Central, VOCNation.com, TheBradyHicks.com, myself, DJ, Derek McDonald, Ray Bogus, Anthony Sardo, Kathy Fitz, breaking down all that's going on in wrestling today, and so much more.
The Greg DeMarco Show, The Greg DeMarco Show, The Greg DeMarco Show, every Sunday, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, worldwide on VOTNation.com. Sunday for all, to Greg DeMarco.
Hola, hola, hola. This is Funtime Shelley. I am joined by the lovely Danielle.
Hello.
And what's your favorite time on Monday afternoon?
3 p.m. Eastern on VOCNation.com.
That's because you're going to save wrestling.
Be there or be square. Don't be a nerd.
Don't forget the hashtag.
Don't be tardy.
Hey, it's me, the mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart. Ned Carrier has many great products and services to increase your bottom line. Be sure to ask your Ned Carrier representative about our hosted PBX. Call Ned Carrier today for a free analysis of your phone bills. 877-255-7733. That's right, 877-255-7733. Call now.
Quality Printing Solution is an online printing service that works for your business and your budget. Quality Printing Solution is customer-focused and quality-conscious. At Quality Printing Solution, we provide high-quality printing services in an array of printing styles with the desire to be the best in the printing industry. Whether you are looking for brochures, business cards, catalogs, postcards, calendars, flyers, booklets, or even letterheads, call 888-760-8974 or visit QualityPrintingSolution.com. There's no S in solution. QualityPrintingSolution.com. Call today.
Okay, Philadelphia parents, listen up. Do you have a child in the house that's just about to learn how to drive? Well, you got to do this. You got to head over to DuncanSchoolOfDriving.com. Best of Bucks County 2013 Specialist in Teenage Driver Training. Keep that insurance down. Keep them accident-free. 215-639-1990. They're endorsed by the Pennsylvania Police Officers Association, DuncanSchoolOfDriving.com.
Hey, I'm the mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart, telling you fans worldwide to visit VOCNation.com. The VOC Wrestling Nation radio program is live every Wednesday with the hottest guests, the latest news, and lots of fun from the greatest team in wrestling media. Take it from me, the mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart. VOCNation.com is the place to go, baby.
Entertainment with an attitude. This is the VOC Nation Radio Network.
All right, guys, you know what? The Brady Hicks, I'm back here again, and I just had a couple more things I wanted to mention. I'd be remiss, but I, you know, this is the first show, and we got a little flustered with everything we got going on in the studio. I definitely want to mention that in addition to In the Room and Compton After Dark and Her World, His Dork World, His Dork World, Her Dork World, His Dork World, definitely check out the VOC Nation, the VOC Wrestling Nation, 5:30 Eastern, every Wednesday, right here, VOCNation.com. Greg DeMarco show moving over from Sunday over to Wednesday night, so he'll be there too. Lots of great programming. Go to the schedule section of VOCNation.com. Be sure to check all that out. Tommy Fierro bringing his Who's Slamming Who podcast. Actually, a show that's ironically played a part in the formation of In the Room, so definitely go check that out. And we'll be back next time, guys. And we got lots more planned for you, so take care. Bye-bye.